want to thank you for joining us today, our fellow brethren from the E-Course Seventh-day Adventist Church and from the Ypsilanti Church, and our online worshipers in the United States and around the world. Want to thank Keith for the special music, and Surest for the health nugget, and Jennifer. And by the way, my spies told me that he spotted Jennifer marching in a protest this week. God bless you, Jennifer. My peeps told me that they saw you. And of course, Alicia and Roy for hosting today's worship experience. May God continue to bless us as we make our way through these challenges. Our topic for discussion today is back to normal. Back to normal. I know most of us have been locked away for several months. And you will remember that in school attendance ended precipitously and we were forced to make adjustments. Teachers and educators were forced to switch to online attendance, and some of us became suddenly unemployed. I'm told that more than 40 million people in the United States alone filed for unemployment, and that represents about 0.25% of the working population. We know that some jobs will never return. Some restaurants will never reopen. Most churches have been closed, and some of them will never reopen. We have been forced to innovate and create new worship experiences. Some people died and were buried alone. Some of us celebrated Zoom birthdays. Not picking on you, Alicia. We had Zoom graduations, Zoom parties, Zoom school, Zoom work, Zoom funerals, Zoom church. We are all Zoomed out. And we want to get back to normal. It doesn't matter how creative we have become. It's not the same. You see, humans were created to socialize. Remember when, after God created Adam, God made this pronouncement. He said, "It is not good for man to be alone." Because he knew that isolation can devastate a person. You know, that's how they break hardened criminals. They put them in isolation for days and days and weeks and months. And after a while, you just go crazy. Your brains stop secreting endorphins and dopamine, and that's why depression and anxiety and anger set in. And so there is this natural tendency for us to want to return to normal. Schools are sending out surveys. How soon can we reopen? What are the classrooms going to look like? Universities are doing the same thing. Facebook, Google, they're all trying to find ways of returning to normal. And take a look at the picture on the screen. And here we go. That is what sociologists are calling pandemic fatigue. People are now throwing caution to the wind. We need to get back to normal. Many of our church folk have been asking, when is the church going to reopen? And so I want to address that issue. And to provide answers, I want to go to the scriptures around this topic, back to normal. Our Father, our God, in these times, we need a Savior. Yeah. Open our eyes, open our hearts, as we try to find ways of returning to normal. Guide us and help us to learn lessons from the past. In Jesus' name, amen. Roy read the scripture reading from John 21. And I'm not going to read every verse. I'm going to jump around, but just to provide the context for today's message, back to normal. I'm going to do two things with the scriptures today. I'm going to read from chapter 21, which is where a message comes from. And then I'm going to read from chapter 20 to provide context to 21. So, 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. Pay attention. By the Sea of Galilee. The writer is very specific and precise in his language. It happened this way. He said, Simon Peter, that's one person. Thomas, that's two. Nathanael, that's three. The sons of Zebedee, that's five. And two other disciples, seven. Very precise language. This is a fascinating portion of scripture. I'm sure you've read it time and time again, but I want you to stay with me. I am going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, okay, guess we'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them. And I'm going to come back to this. Jesus called out to them. Pay attention to the language used by the disciple here. He said to them, friends, how is it working for you? Have you caught anything? And they said, no. And he said, throw your nets on the other side. Verse 7. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off. This Simon Peter is quite a character. He's like some of my friends. They walk into a room and they demand attention. So the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not too far from the shore, about 100 yards. Precise language. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat, dragged the net. It was full of fish, 153. Precise language. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came. He took the bread, gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. For us to put this text in context, we need to step back to the previous chapter. Stay with me. Follow me very carefully. So let us push the pause button on what we just read. Now let us step back to chapter 20. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. I'm reading now from the previous chapter for a reason. She saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascended to my Father." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things. Verse 19. Pay attention. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked. So we push a pause button in chapter 21. We're in chapter 20. Jesus is risen from the dead. Mary comes to tell the disciples they are on lockdown, just like us. Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. A week later, the disciples were still on lockdown. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, verse 26, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be unto you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Raise up your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." There's a reason why I read both chapters. Chapter 21 of John is not a good chapter. The writer paints the scene. Jesus in the tomb, Jesus rose, but the disciples knew that Jesus had been crucified, and their discipleship, the church as they knew it, was gone forever. Their livelihood was taken away. Their future was destroyed. Life as they knew it was over. And that's why they were locked away in the house for several weeks, just like us. Several days hiding. And after a while, pandemic fatigue set in. So we can identify. They said, "This does not make sense. We have to go back to normal, to fishing." Here's what's fascinating. Jesus appeared to them three times. Yet seven of the leaders of the disciples said, this discipleship thing no longer makes sense. We need to go back to normal. We are starving. We have our families to feed. We have to return to what we know best, fishing. That was their normal. Getting up at night, hauling their nets in the boat, catching fish, taking the fish, selling the fish, and doing the same thing over and over and over. And then they met Jesus, and then he died. And then we come to chapter 21. Let's go fishing. That was their normal. Let me ask you a question. For those of us who want to go back to normal, what was our normal before this pandemic? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want you to digest that picture for a minute. Before the pandemic, that was our normal. We came to church. If we were not too tired, that was our normal. The pews were empty. Remember how some of us sat as spectators in the church? That was our normal. So when I hear you say, you want to go fishing, back to fishing like the disciples. What exactly are we talking about? Is this the normal we are asking for? Some of us asked to teach a class to greet people at the door, remember? And we will say, nah, that's not my thing. Remember the fights we used to have in church? Remember the church board meetings? Remember the fights over money and budgets and you doing this for her, but you're not doing this for me? That was our normal. That's our normal Sabbath school. We could count them, maybe six. Maybe seven people. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking about the disciples. They said, we want to go back fishing. We want to go back to normal. Normal was, let me see if I could afford a couple of dollars for offering. Normal was giving 8 hugs, but carefully avoiding the people we couldn't stand. Is this the normal we are asking for? What do you mean when you say, let's go back to normal? When is the church opening? Let's go back to fishing. What are you talking about? My topic is back to normal. What about the political normalcy? What was it like before the pandemic? What is this normal that we want to go back to? Let me remind you. Images of black and brown people sleeping and living in cages. Women and children locked in cages as good conservative Christians. Look the other way. That was our normal. Remember those scenes. That was our normal. Let's go back to normal. Let's go fishing. Seven of the disciples, the leader said, let's go back to normal. Let's go back to normal, Ipsy. Let's take a look at what normal was and see if this is really what we want to go back to.
When a Cleveland police officer mistook the child's air gun for a real firearm, the entire incident unfolded within 2 seconds. The officer fired, but cleared of any criminal wrongdoing. And also in 2014, 17-year-old Laquan McDonald is shot 16 times by a Chicago police officer. Dash cam video showed McDonald walking down the street with a knife in his hand, but strolling away from officers. The officer who jumped out of his car and shot McDonald is currently serving a 6-year sentence for second-degree murder. And in April of 2015, Walter Scott is stopped by police for a broken brake light in North Charleston, South Carolina. Cell phone video later shows Scott running from the officer, directly away from him, as the officer shoots him in the back. The officer is charged with first-degree murder, but his state case ends in a mistrial, and he later pleads guilty to a federal charge of violating Scott's civil rights and is sentenced to 20 years in prison. Also in April of 2015, Baltimore police arrest 25-year-old Freddie Gray on a weapons charge for having a knife in his pocket. He suffers a severe spinal injury as he's being transported by police. He falls into a coma and later dies. All 6 officers indicted in the case are eventually cleared. In 2016, Philando Castile killed during a traffic stop in a Minneapolis suburb. His girlfriend live streams the aftermath and says he was reaching for his ID. Following a 2-week trial and a day of deliberations, jurors acquit the officer of all charges. Also 2016, Alton Sterling is confronted by officers outside a Baton Rouge convenience store. Cell phone video shows him pinned to the ground at the moment that they shot him. Police say they thought he was reaching for a gun. Louisiana's attorney general later says an investigation determines the shooting was justified. And Breonna Taylor was killed inside her home just 2 months ago. A nurse who had been on the front lines of COVID. Officers broke down her door in the dead of night as part of a drug sting. And according to a police warrant, they believed that a man was using her home to traffic drugs. Over the course of the raid, Taylor was shot at least 8 times, according to a lawsuit by the family. Those officers are currently on administrative leave. And today, June 5th, would have been Breonna Taylor's 27th birthday.
You remember those scenes. That was normal. Unarmed civilians, black and brown, shot and killed by law enforcement because they didn't run, or they didn't freeze, or they didn't smile, or they didn't do what they were told to do. That was normal. Is that the normal we want to return? When we say back to normal, what is our definition for back to normal? When we say let's go fishing, what are we talking about? What was the social normalcy like before the pandemic? It was the relentless pursuit of materialism. Some lived from paycheck to paycheck as the rich exploited the poor and locked them and looked at them, with contempt. That was normal. Back to the disciples. Jesus appeared to them three times after his resurrection. Yet still they said, let's go fishing. Let's go back to normal. Chapter 21 is not a good chapter. The disciples reasoned, at least with fishing, we could take care of our families. At least we could pay our bills. Here's the problem with normal, Church of God. Normal is not good enough. In fact, normal is terrible. Before the disciples met Jesus, they were living from fish to fish. Before the pandemic, some of us were not doing well. I am not sure why we want to return to not doing well. We were living from day to day, getting up and going through a routine, only to return to do it again. We had lost most of our young people. That was our normal. Some of us were going through an endless routine, stuck in survival mode. Brothers and sisters, we were not made to live from fish to fish. We were not made to live from hand to mouth. We were not made to merely exist. So if we are only striving for normal, I hope this pandemic continues. If we're only striving to get back to racial discrimination, if we're only striving to get back to an empty church, maybe the pandemic ought to continue, because we haven't learned our lesson as yet. Remember after 9/11? People wanted to get back to normal, and they did. For a few months, the churches were packed. And then they returned to their obnoxious, materialistic, immoral, crude self. So if our goal is just to go fishing, I think we've missed the boat. I want to propose today, instead of trying to get back to normal, I want to propose that we move beyond normal. We serve a God who is not satisfied with just normal. That's why Jesus appeared to the disciples three times to see if they will get it. That's why he said to Peter, "Do you love me?" three times. He knew that normal was not good enough. So how do we move to beyond normal? Watch this. Chapter 21, verse 5. Disciples are out fishing all night. They catch nothing. It's on the screen. I don't know if you've seen that text before. I'm sure you have. But take a minute and ponder the text. Jesus looked at his disciples, men that he had trained for 3.5 years. He sacrificed his life for them, and they were essentially backsliders, traitors, deserters. Jesus said to them, "Friends, how is normal working for you?" I'm talking about, how do we move beyond normal? Look at Jesus' attitude. He inspired them to cast out demons, but they deserted him and they were back fishing. Jesus showed them how to treat people, how to help the needy, how to help the helpless. But they deserted him and they went back fishing. Yet still Jesus stood on the shores and he said, "Friends, How is it working for you? I looked at the language, and it is telling. Jesus used the Greek word, tas philos, meaning, my friends. He really should have called them out. Had that been me, I spent my life working with you and for you, and this is how you repay me by forsaking the church and trying to create your own normal, saying that you're going fishing? Had I been Jesus, I would have called him out. Watch this. The answer, which is Jesus, asked the question. Be careful when the answer asks you the question. He said, tas philos, my friends, I am so glad that we have a God who, despite our failures, can still approach us and can actually refer to us as tas philos, friends. He sees our failures. He sees the long nights. He sees that we have settled for catching fish and living from fish to fish. He knows that we can't make it on our own. He knows how we have treated other people, yet still he approaches them and he says, my brothers, I hope when we return to beyond normal, we in this church and in eCourse and wherever you're listening will have a better attitude. I hope we will approach each other like Jesus and say, my friend, my sister, my brother, despite your betrayal, I'm still calling you friends. We serve a God who does not believe in really giving people what they deserve. If we are to move beyond normal, we want to take a page from the life of Jesus, not giving people what they deserve. He called Moses the murderer friend. He called Judas friend. In fact, did you know that Judas, as a disciple, cast out demons? Read the Bible for yourself. Yet still Jesus called him, when he was about to betray Jesus, friend. He looked at the disciples and he realized if these jokers were to move beyond normal, he had to see them as friends. We cannot, we must not move, we must not return to normal with our same attitude. We've got to be tolerant of people, even when they don't meet our expectations. We have got to love them, even when they are not lovable. As we try to move beyond normal and return, we have got to come back with a different attitude. Watch this, he says. I like the language of Jesus here. Not only did he call them friend, he said to them, haven't you any fish? Jesus, I think here is just, he is just out of control. I mean, come on, Jesus. You're watching them all night. You knew they were going to go out and come back without fish. Why are you asking them if they have no fish? Remember the man who made his bed by the pool and he was lame for 38 years when Jesus approached him and Jesus said to him, "Hey, do you want to be healed? Come on!" But there's a reason why Jesus was asking them this question. He knew that for him to get through to them, he had to approach them without embarrassing them. Let me ask you the question. Can we learn a lesson from Jesus' approach? When people fall short, in addition to calling them names, not friends, what is our attitude towards them? How do we view them? How do we treat them? Maybe as we strive to move beyond normal, we have got to treat people and not try to embarrass them. We have got to try to find ways of tapping into their true potential. Not a word of criticism here by Jesus. I find this fascinating. He said to them, "I guess it's not working for you. Now, how are we going to fix this?" He said to them, "How about if you cast your net on the other side?" He wasn't finished with them as yet. I'm glad that Jesus is not finished with some of us. Some of us have to learn the same lesson over and over and over again. Moving beyond normal calls for a healthy dose of humility. Watch this. These were trained fishermen. They spent their lives on the lake. Jesus was a carpenter. Never fished a day in his life. Who are you to tell us to cast our nets on the other side? We know what we are doing. Really? Well, they tried it all night, right? And they knew that on the lake, you fish at night. You don't fish in the day. The fish would see the nets and avoid the net. They could have said that. He said, "Cast your net on the other side." Moving beyond normal calls for a healthy dose of humility. It means understanding that we are powerless. It means understanding that we are fragile. It means understanding that we have to surrender our stuff, our education, our training, our years of fishing, our ways of doing things to God. Because without God, we are nothing. Think about this. One simple virus closes down the whole world. We ran from our jobs. We ran from our bling blings. We ran from the hairdressers. We ran from our barbers. I hope we have learned something, that we are powerless. So when I hear, almost call him a fool, but I'm not going to. I'm in church and this is a Sabbath. But when I hear a certain leader says, "We are not going to shut down this country again. The virus will never return." I want to say, I'm not going to say it. You haven't seen anything as yet. There is a God who rules in the affairs of man. There is a God who says to the ocean, "You can only come this far." There's a God who controls the affairs of man. And it calls for a healthy dose of humility Jesus said to the disciples, how is it working for you? Cast your net on the other side. They had a choice to make. Well, I'm glad they did. That's why John said, they caught 153 large fish. They had never done that before because they surrendered to the God of the abnormal. Moving beyond normal calls for becoming very creative, letting go of the old ways and finding better approaches, those affirmed by Jesus. Cast it on the other side, he said. Moving beyond normal calls for doing things differently. It was Wayne Dyer who said, when you change the way you look at things you look at will change. Maybe we ought to cast our net in this church on the other side. Maybe there are days when we need to keep church outside of church. Maybe there are days when we need to be by the shopping malls helping seniors with their carts. Maybe we maybe we need to move beyond normal and cast our nets on the other side. Just do things differently. And for those of us who are thinking that when the doors are open, we're going to flood back into church, that's not going to happen. The virus is still alive. We shouldn't even be using the air-conditioned unit because if someone is positive and they breathe, the spores can go into the unit and recircle and recirculate. We have to think of creative ways of moving beyond normal. We may not be able to congregate like we used to. We may not be able to give 8 hugs like we used to. We may not be able to give our tithe and offering like we used to. We may have to have our temperature taken like we didn't used to. Moving beyond normal calls for some creativity. Some of us are stuck in our ways. We keep trying the same thing over and over again, but it ain't working. Cast your net on the other side. We may have to cast our nets on the gay side. We may have to cast our nets on the homeless side. We may have to cast our nets on the drunken people's side. We may have to cast our net on the prison side. We may have to cast our nets outside so that we don't get a chance to sleep in church and criticize how the sermon is boring and how the preacher is shouting. When we had the time to worship, we didn't worship. So now, we're going to have to cast our nets on the other side. So Jesus said to the disciples, you want to go back to normal? Normal doesn't exist anymore. Cast it on the other side. Now, become creative. It's a side that is not convenient. It's not comfortable. It's different. Let's come to church and you're not wearing a suit, you're not wearing a tie, and we're mad, we're offended. That is terrible. Well, guess what? Those days are over. Now what? Now what are you going to do with your nets? You can cast it on the other side, or you're going to fish all night and get nothing. What are you going to do now? Well, They did. And when you read the rest of the Gospels, they deserted their boats and their fishing net. And they said, we got to move beyond that. And you remember in Acts now, when Peter walked up to the lame man, this is the same Peter who said, I'm going to go fishing, right? Walks up to the lame man, and the man is putting out his hand begging, and Peter said, you know what? Silver and gold have I none, but such I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. These guys began to turn the city upside down. That's what moving beyond normal does to you. When Walt Disney created Disneyland and Disney World, when Disney World was about to be unveiled, Walt Disney had died. And the reporters came up to his brother Frank, and they said, it's a pity Walt is not here to see this. And Frank said, Walt saw this. He refused to settle for the ordinary. He saw this way before he died. I hope we will not settle for normal. Maybe this is what moving beyond normal will look like. Maybe this is what church will look like. I hope as we cast our nets on the other side, even if Jesus has to pull us kicking and screaming and yelling, we will cast our nets on the other side. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. And as we attempt to find ways of moving beyond normal, help us to trust you, help us to look to you for strength and guidance. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and thank you. Amen.